Good morning, family. It is such a joy to be able to be here, first of all, among the living, but also to be here amongst my brethren. Sometimes I think life has a way of not causing you to realize how special you are to one another. From time to time, it just hits me that we have a wonderful body of souls and saints here that worships here, that love each other, that strive to work together for the good of the cause of Christ. But genuinely have a love of lost souls. So I just kind of thinking about it yesterday at dinner, just how special we are. So it's a great, great opportunity to be a part of God's body here. Before I forget, two things I want you to keep in mind. Definitely keep Brother John and Sister Bonnie in your prayers with the loss of their grandson. I think the services are tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Edwards Funeral Home in Norwood, and also Steve and Jackie Fane, who just funeralized one of their relatives as well. Keep them in your prayers as well. Definitely so. All right. Without further ado, let us get into our lesson. If you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I began a series of lessons on called Milk or Meat. And out of that, I told you we would cover some things that pertain to this, you know, because this was an encouragement. Paul, again, just review a little bit, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 14 through 17, he was a little frustrated. He had more deeper truths to talk to him about. He wanted to discuss some things about Christ and the order of Melchizedek, but he kind of had to put the brakes on it because he said that there were some who were still on milk. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, he tells them some things they need to press towards or press and move on past. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and it reads as such. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now here, Paul, who's given credit for writing the book of Hebrews, he doesn't necessarily say that it was bad things, but he said these are foundations that you're to build on. These should be bygone conclusions by this point. You shouldn't still have questions about baptism. You shouldn't have questions about laying on of hands. You shouldn't have questions about faith towards God or the eternal judgment. These are things that at some point in time in our Christian life should be accepted and also settled. And also, this is what he's talking about here. And one of the things we're going to talk about today, we're going to cover all of them at some point in time in the series of lessons, is the doctrine of baptisms. And as I said before, this, again, is another part of my series entitled Milk or Meat. Paul was dealing with spiritual immaturity of some members. He urges them to push on past the elementary principles. He then goes on to list them, as I said before, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, and the doctrine of baptism. Excuse me. Now, some people say, well, that's a typo, right? Because he said baptism. Well, when we look at and get into our study, we're going to understand that in the New Testament, the author uses the word baptism instead of baptism. Why? Because there are several types of baptism mentioned in the New Testament. First of all, I'm going to cover this morning, definitely, is the baptism of John. Then you have the baptism of Moses. Then you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, but not definitely not leastly, you have the baptism for the remission of sin. So he mentions baptism here because all of these things should be settled. And when we understand and put these things in context according to Scripture, maybe at the end of this series of lessons, we'll have it all taken care of as well. So what is this doctrine of baptism? As I said before, we're going to talk about this morning the baptism of John. You know, we see this going on. We see it in Scriptures like Mark chapter 11, verse 30, when Christ asked the question to the Pharisees, was the baptism of John, was it from heaven or for men? So they knew not to answer in the negative because they knew it was from God. But if they knew it was from God, they had to accept those that John was preaching and talking about in his baptism. The one he talked about that would come further along the way, whose shoelaces he was not able to even attach or tie, so to speak. But when you think about this, there's a lot of confusion about this baptism of John. First of all, it was not a part of the law of Moses. Now, even though it was under the Old Testament, understand what's going on here. God, in his infinite wisdom, sent somebody to pave the way and turn hearts to the coming Messiah. This was the role that John played. And we're going to talk about some things that are kind of tell or parallel with the obedience of forgiveness of sins, but you have to understand John's purpose. He did not come to establish a different baptism for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did not come to start his own church. He did not come for these reasons. His sole mission was to make straight the path to the way of the Messiah. And the things that he did and required them to do, that's exactly what it did, but it was not a part of the law of Moses. Neither was it a part of New Testament doctrine either.
Amen.
When we look at it, we're going to talk about it. And one of the scriptures that really sticks out is, I believe it's in Luke chapter 7, verse 28, when he says, John was a great man, but the least in the kingdom is greater than John. The least in the kingdom. Why was Christ saying this at this point in time? First of all, the kingdom did not exist at this point in time.
Amen.
Matthew 16 and 18 says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ is also referring to a future kingdom. Now, he was not minimizing John, but he's saying there's something far greater that is my plan for mankind. John's role, I want to stress this, was to turn hearts to make straight the path so that the nation of Israel, because he was primarily dealing with Jews, would turn their hearts and make straight the path of the coming Messiah. This is what's going on here. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 mentions repentance, but it was to make straight the way of the Lord. And we're going to cover that a little bit later. It was for Jews only in order to turn their hearts to God. And it was also, thinking about this and where the apostles came from, it was one of the prerequisites to be an apostle. They had to be disciples since the baptism or beginning with the baptism of John. So we know it played a way, and we're going to talk about that maybe not this week, but why that was important as well. Because all of these things pointed hearts towards Christ Jesus and him crucified and also his body. So we know it was there. We also know it was divinely ordained. His baptism came from heaven. It came from heaven. So some people say, well, that doesn't mean it. What? Why did he say that? And we're supposed to do it. It came from heaven. Let's agree with scripture here. John was a man sent by God, and so was his baptism. So it was sent by God in his baptism. But we got to learn to take things in perspective and in context. It was in preparation to accept God's eternal plan for mankind, which is the gospel.
Amen.
John came in the spirit of Elijah to prepare men's hearts. And all throughout, even in Luke chapter 7, verse 18, John himself didn't have the full picture. Because he sent two of his disciples to say, Christ, is Jesus, you the man that we're supposed to be looking for? So he didn't have an understanding of what God's kingdom was as well. But everything that John did in his mindset pointed hearts towards Christ.
Amen.
So we look at it that way. Let's look at some things that John's faith required as well, John's baptism required as well. And they sound pretty familiar to us who know our scripture. First of all, it required faith of believing. This was not in John, but the coming Messiah. So he didn't come to set up his own set of followers. He didn't even come to have a separate way into God's kingdom other than what the coming Messiah would present. There was confession that was required. And there was repentance. So what were they repenting to? What were they confessing to? And what was the faith they were told to believe in? All of these things pointed towards Christ. But how can you be a part of something that's not in existence yet? Because the kingdom was not in existence yet. So we get the picture here that there was something taking place in between the Old Testament to when Christ came to die for his church when he died on the cross. This was, in many respects, the placeholder to point all hearts who would listen and obey towards Christ. It caused them to realize that they were in sin. It caused them to realize that they need to confess a name that John didn't consider his lips worthy to confess. John always pointed to Christ. So he knew what his mission was. It was not to come set apart. It was not even to do those things because we know according to scripture, Christ died for sins both past, present, and future. Which means he died for sins under the old law. He died for sins during this time period in the life of John. And he died for them definitely for those who were living after his kingdom had begun. Point number four. So what was the purpose of John's baptism? It was to make straight the path to Jesus. all the requirements of John pointed towards the coming Messiah. So the things that they confessed, what they repented of was their sins, because their sins, the coming Messiah was to forgive all their sins. He was going to do that on the cross. But something had to be done to get Israel's head in the right place, those who would listen. Because they were still in the old law. Many of them still didn't believe in the coming Messiah. So Christ and God sent a person in the name of John the Baptist to turn hearts and heads and minds towards the coming Messiah. John's baptism was only valid until Christ died for our sins. So during this time period, it was only valid until Christ died for our sins. So all of these things, so if somebody died before Christ died on the cross, they're going to be judged by that law. Just the same as it is with the old law. Those who died on the old law, they didn't know Christ was going to be here. They were not here, so what law would they be judged under? They would be judged under the law of Moses. Here is something in between that points to Christ, and there's some, and I'm pretty sure there were some. I don't know how many scriptures doesn't tell this. God knows himself that died between the time of baptism of John until Christ set up his kingdom. So we see that. I want to make sure we're on the same page with that. Point number five. John's baptism was never meant to be a permanent arrangement. How do we know this? When we go into Matthew 28 and 20, when Christ gave the Great Commission, what did he say? He said, go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Under John's baptism, two of these people were left out. The Holy Spirit, because we know he didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit and what his rule was, and he also didn't really understand what Christ was going to do with his church, because he himself was beheaded before the Lord's church began. So this is what's going on here. It was solely for the purpose of turning hearts to Christ, even though it included many of the elements of what we ought to do to please God today. But that purpose was to turn their hearts towards Christ. Those who died under it before Christ lived and died and was resurrected and would be judged by that law. But what about after Christ lived, died, and was resurrected? Well, then there's another plan that comes in place, a more complete plan. And that's where we need to look at it. All these things turn hearts to Christ, but Christ had something different in his complete plan for mankind. As I said before, Matthew 28 and 20 says this. They were to go into all nations and teach about Christ. They were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So my question is, who was included in all? Do you think the scriptures, if they would have kept scriptures the way it had been given to them and Christ had commanded them, that it did not include those of John's baptism? Because John's baptism did not include being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So evidently, we're going to get an example of that in Acts chapter 19, 18 and 19, just a second. So we see these things are going on here. So we see that they are including all nations who were baptized even under John's baptism. The answer is yes, because they are including all nations and tongues. And Paul gives us a very good example that we get to in a little while longer. Matter of fact, we're going to get to it next. Let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, and we're going to pick up probably around verse 24. And it reads as such. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Then it says this, knowing only the baptism of John. So now we get this progression. He understands that the Messiah died for him. He understands who Christ was at this point in time, and he was even preaching Christ to a certain respect. But then it says, knowing only the baptism of John. Why does that come into play? We're going to talk about it. Because when we read verse 28, it says this, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him to them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What this means is Apollos was doing the best he could to preach, but he had an incomplete understanding of God's complete plan for mankind. If not, there would have been no need to call him and pull him aside and teach him more perfectly to do these things. So even though he's preaching Christ, even though he's talking about scriptures and even pointing to scriptures like Isaiah and all those other things, that was something that he was missing. Even though he himself was probably baptized under John's baptism. You follow? So this is what's going on here. And then verse 27 says this, and when he disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him who was he was come when he was come, help them much when which he had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. But there was something missing with Apollos. Well, then we get to chapter 19. It says this, beginning of verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And understand, when this scripture is put together, it was not put together in chapters. So this is one continuous thought. This is something that happened pretty much right away. Through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. Now, disciples goes back all the way to the time of John, when they were followers and pointing, and Christ, John was pointing to the coming Messiah. But notice what Paul asked them. He says unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. Let's look at this for a moment. They were still thinking that baptism, John's baptism, was all they needed. They didn't understand that there was something else they would receive in the baptism after Christ had died. Now, Paul had every strength, he had every opportunity just to say, lay hands on them and go on about your business. I know you hadn't heard about it. Let me lay hands on them, give it to you. But there was something missing, even in their walk towards Christ and even in many respects in Christ. So what was missing? And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? So by Paul making this statement, he knew that there was something missing based on the fact that they were baptized under John's baptism. He knew something was missing. So he wasn't just going to excuse it because he knew they needed to be taught the way more completely or perfectly. That's what Aquila and Priscilla did. That's also Paul doing the same thing. Unto what then were you baptized? Which lets us know that maybe we have to be able to first rightly divide when the Bible talks about, New Testament talks about baptisms, but also think about this now, because I'm asking this question today. Unto what were you baptized? And we'll get to that maybe not this week, but next week. But unto what were you baptized? Which means, what I mean by this, was a proper method and a proper reason for baptism taught? Were you taught that you were to be added to the kingdom and not join a church? Were you also taught that it was forgiven of your sins? We're going to talk about that word EIS next week. So I'm going to give you several scriptures to prove that EIS meant for the baptisms and not because of. Because there's other scriptures that use that same word EIS in terms of baptism that talks about the fact that baptism was for the remission of sins and not because your sins have forgiven. So when you look at it, you got to look at the totality of the whole scriptures. We'll be talking about that next week because I don't have time to cover it today. But he said, unto what then were you baptized? Paul's sitting here thinking, but everybody that I baptized, even my baptism myself, I was taught and received the Holy Spirit. So until then, what were you baptized? He was well aware of John's baptism because he was living during that time period. He was well aware that folks that were baptized, he may have had some friends do it because they were all Jews. Maybe them some of the same ones he was chasing around, including those baptized under the new law. Unto then were you baptized? And then they said, unto John's baptism. Now again, Paul had every opportunity at this point in time to say, well, you're disciples and followers, so it really don't matter, does it? It really don't matter. Just come on and do it. It's okay. You understood what you understood. But that's not what we see in Scripture. Because notice what it says in verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. So even the baptism of repentance was also not completely taught, because he was talking about, speaking to John, about somebody who's coming in the future to forgive your sins. That's what he's talking about here. He's saying, so the baptism he taught a baptism of repentance, But you didn't understand, neither did he understand how repentance would take place. That's what he's talking about here. And then it says this. Then said Paul, verily, baptized with water of repentance, saying unto them, the people, they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And notice it didn't say again. All the things that John did pointed to Christ. There was still some folks. They didn't have social media back then. They didn't have TV. They didn't have the technology we have. There were some folks back then that all they knew was John's baptism. But when they knew better, more completely, more perfectly, they did the right thing. They didn't stay where they were and say John's baptism is good enough, because they understood, based on John's baptism and what they had recently learned from Paul and even Apollos after he was taught more perfectly, that there was something missing. That's what we see here. So when you understand John's baptism in the context of that, you understand everywhere that John, even when he baptized, he was pointing towards Christ and him crucified and him dying for sins. Even the repentance turned hearts to Christ, because repentance had not taken place then, because Christ had not died then. So all of these things happened with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see here, it matters what you were taught prior to baptism. It matters. If you were not taught things according to Scripture, then you may want to think about getting it right so that you know it's right. And that was some things that had to be taught according to Scripture. You had to be taught that you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means you don't tarry for it. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't tarry for it. You also don't become baptized so that you can join a church. That's not what's taught according to Scripture, because first of all, there was but one. And we know based on your obedience, God adds you to the church, which means this. If you were baptized somewhere and you were first a candidate for baptism, you might want to question it. If you were baptized somewhere that says this, well, you're saved, you got to get baptized, but you were saved the moment you asked Jesus to come into your heart, then my question is, why be baptized? Because baptism was for the forgiveness of sin. So if you have, same thing in math, wrong premise, wrong conclusion. That's what it's talking about here. And there's nothing bad about it. These folks didn't get upset. They didn't say, you know, that's what I was doing, that's what I've learned, that's what my mom and daddy taught me. They just got it right. That's all they did was get it right. Nobody blaming. They did the best they could, what they had. But now God loved them enough to lead them away more perfectly, more complete, just like he did with the apostles and those disciples. So we see this here. Paul said it also follows. For him to teach only John's baptism means he was baptized under John's baptism. He was also, got ahead of himself, only teaching others John's baptism at this time. But what was John's baptism? Was John's baptism still valid at this point? It could not have been, because what had to be taught prior to baptism? And we know the Great Commission says what? Teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So John's baptism at that point in time, when we come into Acts 18 and 19, had served its purpose. It was from heaven, it was true, but it had served its purpose. Counted in the same category as the law of Moses. Surely, they could have been grafted into Christ's baptism, right? They could have presented a certificate saying they were baptized. That's not what we see here. No written documents, anything like that, that you can see. So, when you think about it, that's what I'm talking about here. Is John's baptism still in effect? Acts 18, we just read it. I mentioned in 19, I got ahead of myself, so you can review this, and I'll be happy to share copies with you, because he asked some certain questions. Unto what then were they baptized? Proper teaching is a mandatory prerequisite for scriptural baptism. You cannot be taught wrong and baptized correctly, even though the act itself lines up with Scripture. You got to understand what it's for, what you're receiving. Even though you may have been under the water, question what it was. And if you were not taught these things, you need to really think about it, because we see folks here who had hearts sincere enough to make sure they got it right. And that's one thing you don't want to miss in this life is your opportunity at salvation.
Amen.
But it was not enough at this point in time. When Apollos and Paul comes on the scene, therefore it was null and void at the time, this time in history. What they did not say speaks volumes as well. Notice what they didn't say. And this is me adding to it because I know people. I've already been immersed once, so I'm good.
Yeah.
You don't see what I'm saying now? Because at this point in time, sprinkling and pouring was not even in existence.
Amen.
So evidently, they wanted the water somewhere.
Yeah.
They didn't say that. It does not matter what I was taught. I went in the water. They didn't say that either.
Right.
I was baptized as a baby, so I'm good. They didn't say it either. The place where I was baptized under John's baptism is just as good as what Paul is telling us about.
Right.
They didn't say that either. My family baptized me, and they're sincere about their faith. They didn't say that either. When they heard the more complete truth, they obeyed it. No blame calling, no nothing. They just didn't know. It's okay not to know, but when you know, then you have a responsibility to do better. It says, then they were baptized when they heard this. They were baptized in the New Testament. Scriptures had commanded, because again, beginning with the gospel, and even when you think about the full gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were taught under the old law. They were the old law. We're in the New Testament because it talks about the life, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But understand this. Those things and those folks lived under the old law until Christ died and nailed it on the cross. That's what's going on here. They were baptized not again, but now baptized according to the teachings of the apostles, which supersedes John. How do you know that? Let's look at what it says in, I think, Luke chapter 7. Because we see what John's mindset was here, I believe. Luke chapter 7, if I'm not mistaken. If not, I'll find it in a minute. Oh, that's not it. Yes, it is. Luke chapter 7. I was wrong. I was in chapter 8. My bad. Luke chapter 7. We're going to read all the way down from 18 through 28. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou that he that should come, or we look for another? John asked this question. He told them to ask Jesus this. There's no way in the world John was putting people in the Lord's church at this time because he didn't even understand Christ's full mission. Then it says this, And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and many that were blind gave sight. And then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever not offend in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for ye to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately and in king's courts. But what went ye out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way for thee. Now, thee here is talking about Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All John did was point to Christ. All his followers did was be pointed towards Christ and him crucified. That was the purpose of John's baptism. There were some who died in this period. Again, they are going to be judged by that law. But once Christ died and rose again to establish his church, preaching, you must be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that was required for all, even those still living, who were baptized under John's baptism, according to Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. It's tough stuff, but I want to make sure I stick with Scripture. Bring this lesson before a landing. I'm way behind y'all. I'm sorry about that. Got a little diarrhea in the mouth. What about today? when you baptize, not having the proper teaching about Christ, the Holy Spirit, and His church. When you baptize on the teachings of men, when you baptize with a full understanding of the gospel, when you baptize to bury your old life, were you baptized as an entrance into the Lord's church and not after you were told you were saved? Because salvation is in the Lord's church. As many as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Repent, every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins. These are things we have to understand to make sure that we're meeting heaven's conditions, not Curtis's, heaven's conditions about our soul salvation. And again, if you're in that category, don't feel bad. Not at all. You just did the best you did until you were taught better. Just like these sincere folks in Acts chapter 19, verse 6. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Why could not continue in John and John's baptism? Because it was no longer valid, and they were never taught the things that many folks were taught in the Lord's church, because they at that point in time were not in the Lord's church. Because we see the interest in it required these things. They were disciples and followers, disciples and then the followers. There are many folks who are followers of Christ today. But we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. They do many wonderful works, but in verse 23 it says this: depart from me, I never knew you, because you work iniquity. Just because we work in the name of Christ does not mean we're accepted of Christ. That's what Scripture says. I don't say it. I don't have a heaven to put anybody in. But make sure you're doing it where it counts. Make sure you're doing it where it counts. Because you can do many wonderful things and still miss heaven because you work lawlessness or iniquity. You work outside of God's law. That's what that word means. So if you have one desire other today to get things right with God, again, don't blame yourself. I was in the same boat. But I was taught more perfectly. I obeyed more perfectly. And that was all right. I had some folks look at me like, what you doing? I was like, I was taught more perfectly. What you mean what I'm doing? I had to answer to God. What you were taught? Well, did you teach me about such and such? Did I have an understanding? Well, no, we don't teach that. Well, I was not taught correctly. I was not taught more perfectly. And my soul is too important to base it on your guess or what somebody else said. I want to do what Scripture says. And it's okay. Because then you know, no matter what. And that's what I always like to say. All those folks out there are sincere. If they make it into heaven, I'm going to be the first one. Hopefully, I'll make it there first. I'm going to be the first one to graduate them. To congratulate them, rather. I don't hate them. But I did, according to Scripture, to make sure my calling election was sure. Not depending on some family. God does what He wants to. And I'm not saying it won't be there, but I'm going to do, and I hope you have the same desire to do what Scripture says, to make sure your calling election is sure. That should be our mindset. We do that by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe what we have heard. Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Christ made it, he made it plainer than that. Then he says we repent of our sins. And it is some repentance, but it was towards Christ, unto Christ. That's what it was for. They repented. They knew they were sinful. But John was preaching. Understand what his message was. You're repenting, but the person who's coming after me is going to take care of your sins. That's what he was preaching. That's what he was leading folks towards. The one coming after me, yes, you repented, but I can't do anything about it. The one who's coming to die on the cross, he's the one who's dying for your sin, not me. And then we confess. They confess that they had sinned against God. That's what they confess. And then they were baptized after these things were taught. And not done in that order, we see prime example of how it happened in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. They were doing the best they can. They were even disciples or followers. But they hadn't got it right yet. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer, bless you. Please come forward as we sing a verse or two of
576.
576.
There's a power.